Okay, you can have a seat and go in your Bible if you got it. If you don't have a Bible, you can grab one under the chairs there. But a lot of the verses are in your handout also. So if you got a handout, get that out and get that ready. But go to Hebrews 10 if you have a Bible. Hebrews chapter 10. And we're going to talk about Jesus today and what he did on the cross for us. And you guys see the big cross over here to my right, your left. And Jesus Christ gave himself on the cross. Why did he do that? What does that mean? You know, today we're observing what we call the Lord's Supper or communion, which is a time for us to remember what he did on the cross. And I'm going to grab one of these cups. In the cup is juice, and that is symbolic. That's a picture of the blood that he shed for us on the cross. And in on top of the juice here is a wafer of bread, and that bread is a symbol, a picture of the body that he gave for us so willingly on the cross, and there he died for us. And the Bible is going to use an analogy of like this perfect lamb that came from God that gave himself as a sacrifice for us. Look at the top of your handout there at 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19. It says, for as much as you know that you weren't redeemed. That word redeemed just means you were forgiven of your sin. Anybody in here ever sin against God? Man, I've done it too many times, right? And the Bible says that we're redeemed. We're forgiven of our sin. And it says, look at it, not with corruptible things, as silver and gold. You can't buy your way out of this, okay? You can't buy your way into a right relationship with God. You're not going to buy your way out of this, all right? It says, no, we've offended God with our sin, but we are redeemed from that, not with things like silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition, from your fathers. They were sinners too, your dad, your mom, you know, grandparents. We all come from the same stock. We're all sinners. We've all offended God through things that we've done wrong, said wrong, thought wrong. And then look what it says. We're redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. Then he uses like a word picture, as of a lamb. So it's a picture, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot. So in other words, Jesus was like this perfect, you know, innocent lamb that was like the perfect sacrifice for our sin. Nothing else is needed. The blood that Jesus shed for us, the life he gave for us, is sufficient in every single way. And I want to talk about that, and I want to give you three things that I think that we all struggle with, and the work of Christ, the blood of Christ, however you want to word it, his death has met the situation and it's taken care of it. The first one is this. Look at it with me. And you, if you want to write this in your notes, you can there. We gave you a handout. But it says that, first of all, the blood of Jesus Christ gives us a clear standing. And what that means is it's talking about you and God. And there's no barrier. In other words, there's nothing, there doesn't have to be anything between you and God. Nothing between you. Why? Because of what Jesus, in fact, I heard one time kind of the analogy of when he died on the cross, that he was taking God's hand and man's hand and bringing them together, reconciling them, to where there's nothing between you and God anymore. How many of you guys have ever felt like there was something between you and someone else? You felt like there was a barrier. You just felt like there's something between me and someone. Come on, you guys have never had a fight with anybody ever? Man, I got some holy people in this service right here. The 10 o'clock service, they must be a lot more honest, because, I mean, hands went up everywhere when I asked that. But yeah, I mean, be honest. You ever felt like there was a barrier between you and your spouse, or you and your kids, or a barrier with someone at work? Come on, be honest. How many of you ever felt a barrier? All right. Isn't it a great feeling when that barrier comes down? You know, when there's no barrier anymore, and it's just like you just have this great, you know, fellowship together. Well, here's the deal. Through what Jesus did for us, through his blood, we can enjoy something that people before that really did not know anything about. And that is a clear standing before God with our sins not just covered up. Our sins aren't just kind of swept under the rug. No, the Bible teaches that they are taken away. Our sins are completely washed away and they're taken away. And, you know, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus, that old song. And it's so true. Look with me at Hebrews 10. And let's go to the Bible and look at verse number 3. He says, but in those sacrifices, talking about the Old Testament sacrifices, he said there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. In other words, in the Old Testament, before Jesus gave himself as the final sacrifice, every year they had to offer up the same sacrifices, and it's like their sin was thrown in their face every year. Year after year, their sin would be thrown back in their face again. That's a terrible feeling when your sin, and when a person, you know, when a person does that to you, they keep throwing up your past mistakes to you. And that's what would happen, is that they would have their sins brought up every year because there was not a final sacrifice to be able to take them away. Well, it goes on to say, skip down to verse number 11. It says, and every priest, talking about in the Old Testament, every priest stands daily, ministering and offering oftentimes, in other words, over and over, the same sacrifices, notice, which can never take away sins. He said, but this man, after he had, notice it says, this man, after he offered, notice this word right here, after he had offered, what's the next word? One. Everybody say that again? One. One sacrifice. How many times did Jesus have to die on the cross?
Once.
Once for sins. Forever. Sat down on the right hand of God. And then it says in verse 14, for by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. We've been made clean. So what I want you to see, though, is that it isn't that God overlooks our sin. He's holy. He can't do that. God doesn't take our sins and sweep them under the rug and act like they don't exist. God doesn't do that. But rather, God takes our sins away because he sees the blood. I want you to look in your handout at Matthew chapter 26. I've got a few verses here for time's sake that I think will kind of help move things along. Look at Matthew 26, 28. Jesus said, he told his disciples, this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission. That means forgiveness of sins. And then look at the next one, Ephesians 1, 7. It says, in Christ we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Look at the next one, Ephesians 2:13. It says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were, and it's talking about from God. What does it say? Ye who sometimes were what? Far off. You were far away from God. He says, you have been made what? Nearer to God. How? By the blood of Christ. Look at the next verse. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. He says, man, his sacrifice was so sufficient that he has made it possible for all things to be reconciled. Remember the illustration I gave you of the two taking God's hand and our hand and bringing them together? He's made it possible for all things in heaven and earth to be reconciled to God. To where there's no barrier anymore. There's nothing between you and God. Everything, he says, in heaven and earth can be reconciled. How many of you are either in heaven or on earth right now? Just trying to see if you're awake, all right? All right, so you qualify. All right, look at the next one, Revelation 1:5. It says, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, first one to ever raise from the dead, he says, in the prince of the kings of the earth, to him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. You see, there's no other way to have your sin washed away. It only happens when what Jesus did is applied to your heart and your soul. Do you want a clear standing before God? You need to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You need to believe upon Him. You need to let, when the Bible talks about His blood, you guys get what He's saying. He's talking about what He did, His sacrifice, His death, what He did on the cross, His work for you. Let that be applied to your heart and your soul. Receive Him. Accept Him. Don't turn your heart away from Jesus. Open up your heart to Him. He's not going to force His way in. He's not going to make you receive Him. But if you'll open up the door of your heart to Him, He will come in, the Bible says, and live inside of you. He will take your sins away. As far as the east is from the west, He will wash your sins all away to where there is no barrier between you and God anymore. You and God are reconciled. You and God are good. You know, some of you are like, well, I did that, Pastor Dan. I have opened up my heart to Christ. But you know what? Pastor Dan, since then I have messed up. I've sinned. I've done wrong. I've done some horrible things. Even since I've done that, join the crowd. So have I. And you're like, man, I have a hard time believing that I have a clear standing with God and that I'm accepted in His sight. I have a hard time believing that. And you know, we've all been there. We've all been there. Our shortcomings and our failures and the times we mess up, it looms so large in our minds. And we think, how can I be accepted by God? Why would God want me? And the problem is this, is that you are trying to base your acceptance before God upon yourself rather than on Jesus Christ. You're trying to base it upon your performance or your church attendance or my parents were Christians rather than your personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Listen, do you guys believe that God is satisfied with what Jesus did on the cross? Do you think He's satisfied? Then you know what? If I've accepted what He did and that's been applied to my heart, if God accepts what Jesus did, and if I have accepted Jesus, then I must be acceptable to God. And you too, if you've accepted Him and received Him. God said that the blood of Christ is precious. So if that's been applied to your heart, God sees that. He no longer sees you in your sins. He sees you in His Son, Jesus Christ. Isn't it good to know that if you're saved today and you know Jesus, there is no barrier between you and God anymore? You have a clear standing with God. You are acceptable to Him because of Jesus, because of who He is. What they sung a minute ago, because of Him, because of who He is, we are acceptable. The second thing, number two, and I hope you'll take this home with you, this message. And this is on the backside of your handout. But number two is that the blood of Christ also gives us access to God. So not only is there no barrier, but I also have access to talk to Him anytime I want to. Look at Hebrews 10:19. Hebrews 10:19. And can I ask you guys a question? I want you to be honest with me. How many of you guys have ever had a crisis in your life where you felt like, I need to talk to God and get a hold of God? How many of you have ever felt that way? Like, I got to talk to God. I need God's help in this. This is way over my head. I'm in deep water. I got to have God, you know. And you know what? Here's the beauty of it, is that if you know Jesus as your personal Savior, if you know Him and you've received Him in your heart, then the Bible teaches that because of Jesus, you have an open door to talk to God anytime you want to. Look at Hebrews 10, verse 19. It says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Stop right there. Do you know what the holiest is? The holiest is a place. And it's a place in heaven where God lives and dwells. It's God's house. And the Bible says that we have boldness, get this, I got boldness to enter into the holiest where God lives by the blood of Jesus, by his merits, by what he did, and the fact that I've accepted that and received that. What he did has been applied to my heart. That gives me boldness to be able to go in to God's throne room, to where God lives, his house, anytime I want to. Verse 20 says, by a new and living way, which he, Jesus, consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having a high priest, that's Jesus, over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. And so the Bible teaches, now get this, that all believers in Jesus, we can enter into God's presence anytime we want to, with no other sacrifice needed, no priesthood needed, other than Jesus Christ. So that means that, aren't you glad you don't have to track me down every time you want to talk to God? Man, I'll tell you what. I mean, aren't you glad you don't have to say, well, I got to go find Pastor Dan. Oh, really? Why? Well, I got to talk to God, and I got to have Pastor Dan so he can get me into God's presence. Whew. Let me tell you, you may be glad you don't have to do that. We had almost 1,300 people in church last Sunday between the three services. Do you think I'm glad I don't have 1,300 people hunting me down every time they want to talk to God? I'm real thankful for that. You do not have to come to me in order to talk to God. The Bible teaches this. You ready for this statement? It says, Christ's blood has removed the barrier between God and humanity. Yeah, Jesus' sacrifice on the cross has removed the barrier between God and humanity. And the blood of Jesus that he shed for us on the cross has opened up the door for us. Don't you love an open door? You know what an open door means? It's like my office, okay, you know what? Even if my door is shut at work, okay, over here in our office building, my office is kind of back there in the back, And if somebody wants to talk to me in my office, a lot of times, you know, they'll come up to my door, and Monica, who's singing, you know, she's got a little tap like that, you know, and come in, you know. But you know what? When my wife or my son Clint or son Clayton or any of them, if any of them want to talk to me, do you know what they do? There ain't no knocking. Well, here's the deal. The Bible teaches that, picture this is God's throne room in here. This is where God lives, right, in heaven. The Bible teaches there's an open door that has been made for you to go and talk to God anytime because of what Jesus did on the cross for you. Open door. Isn't that great? I mean, an open door means welcome. Come on in. And the Bible teaches that Jesus, when he died on the cross, that he took the door, the veil, and he tore it in two. He tore it down to create an open door. I mean, imagine if I came over to your house to eat. You invited me to your house to eat, and I come and you won't open the door. And you're like, well, you can climb through the window over there if you want to come in. If you really want to come in, there's a window you can kind of go through over there. And I got him climbing through the window trying to get in. No, I mean, how precious is it when you go to someone's house and, man, before you even get out of your car, man, they got the door open, they're looking, and they're welcoming you in? And that's the idea of Scripture, is that once you know Jesus, you can enter into his presence anytime. You have the ear of God anytime. Be honest, have any of you in here ever felt like when you prayed, you ever felt like your prayers were hitting the ceiling? Or do you ever feel like it wasn't doing any good and you were doing this, you know? You just felt like I just can't seem to get through. You ever feel that way? Anybody in here say amen and feel that way? Yeah, feel like your prayers hitting the ceiling and it's not getting through? I felt that way. And so you get discouraged, you quit praying. Why? Because you're coming before God on the uncertain ground of your feelings and your attainment, rather than on the certain ground of Christ's blood that he shed for you. And we think, well, You know, sometimes we get in our mind, well, I've been really good today. I read a few verses from my Bible. I was nice to my spouse and nice to my kids, and I didn't cuss today at all, and I was really good at work and did a good job, and I haven't lost my temper today. And boy, God's really going to hear me because I've been good. Am I going to have a good prayer time today? And God's going to really hear me because, man, I've just been so good. And then most of the time it's the other way around, right? I hadn't been so good, right? Man, I had it out with my spouse and said things I shouldn't have said, and man, I lost my temper at work, and I did some very naughty things to the driver that cut me off on the road out there, and I haven't been very good today. Man, I better not pray because God doesn't want to hear me. If I try to come into his presence, the door will be shut, and I mean, God is frowning upon me, and all that is nonsense. That's ridiculous. You have an open door to talk to God. It's not through your attainment and your achievement. It's not through your self-effort. You can talk to God, your Father, anytime, and it's because of what His Son, Jesus Christ, did for you. Some churches teach that the idea of you got to pray through. And what they mean by that is that if you moan and groan and agonize and if you cry enough and if you beg and if you plead enough, this idea of self-affliction, if you do it enough, God will finally let you into His presence and God will finally hear you. You got to pray through. Maybe you've heard that. There's a Greek word for that. Baloney. Balogna. I think. Yeah. That's baloney. When you come before God in prayer, you don't come on the uncertain ground of your feelings and your actions. You come on the sure ground that God looks at you, He sees the work of Christ has been applied to your heart, and now you have a boldness that you can come into God's presence anytime, day or night, and talk to Him. Because guess what? The blood of Jesus never changes. We change. We're up and down like a roller coaster, but it doesn't change. In fact, look in your handout at a couple verses there. Ephesians 2:18 says that through Him, through Christ, we both, and that just means everybody. It's talking about Jew or Gentile. We all have access by one Spirit. Who do we have access to? What's the last three words? Unto the Father. Notice it's not through you. It's not through you. It's not through you. It's not through your self-effort. It's through Christ that we have access to the Father. Look at the next verse. It says that in Christ we have, how many good words can you get in one verse of the Bible? Look at all the great words. In Christ we have, can you say them with me? What's the first one? Boldness. Number two, we have what? Access to talk to God. Number three, it's all done with what? Confidence. How? By the faith of Him. That's Jesus in the context. By the faith, in other words, the faithfulness, the fidelity of Christ, His righteousness, through Him, we have boldness, access, and confidence. It's good stuff. Please, when you go to the Lord in prayer, just tell the Lord, God, I'm coming to you through Jesus and what He did. I'm not coming to you based on my goodness. I don't have any goodness outside of Jesus. Lord, I'm coming before you, and I know you hear me because of the blood of Jesus and what He did for me. So, Lord, I'm coming before you through Him. And when you start your prayer, start it out that way. Lord, I'm coming to you right now, and I'm coming to you on the basis of what Jesus did for me. And you make sure you get your footing right there solid at the very beginning of your prayer. And then you just pour your heart out to God, and you talk to God because He hears you, He cares, and He answers prayer. Number three, the third thing is this, the last thing, and then we're going to take the Lord's Supper together here, is that the blood gives us a consistent defense. In your handout, it says, the blood has removed the barrier between God and man and puts God on our side. It puts God on our side. Look at Romans 8 in your handout, please. It says, what shall we say then to these things? Look at that verse. Can you all say it with me? If God, what? Before us, who can be against us? And then it says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. Who is he that condemns? It's Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God. And then look at this. What's Jesus doing right now? He is making what? Intercession for us. Listen, the Bible teaches that if you know the Lord as your Savior, no longer are you at enmity with God. You and God are on the same side. God is for you. He is not against you. Oh, but I had this happen in my life and I had that happen. And God is not. Satan is against you. He's your adversary. Who's our enemy? Satan. I am not your enemy. Your spouse is not your enemy. Amen. You know, your boss at work is not your enemy. If you go to school, you know, your professor, not your enemy. Satan is the Christian's enemy. And the bad things that come in our life are because of Satan's influence and because of the sin that Satan brought to this earth and the sin-cursed earth. And so that's the reason why these bad things happen in our life. But sometimes we blame God and we forget, no, God's on our side. The Bible says if God's for us, who can be against us? The Bible says that Jesus is interceding for us at the right hand of God. He's the only priest that we need. He is our high priest. He's called our advocate. He's called our intercessor, our mediator. The Bible says there's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. So I want you to know, guys, that listen, there's only one defense that you need against Satan, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's your defense. Satan accuses us in our mind, and we have to look away to Jesus and see that Christ has met the whole situation created by our sin. And God has no answer for sin other than the cross work of his Son, Jesus Christ. And the Bible talks about resisting Satan and not falling for his wiles, his tricks. You don't resist Satan through your efforts and your good conduct. You resist Satan through Christ's finished work. I want you to look in your handout at one final verse. Look at it. Ephesians 6, verses 10 and 11. It says, finally, my brethren, notice what that says. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in yourself. Is that what it said? No, it said, be strong where? That's talking about Jesus. Be strong in Jesus. And then look what it says. Be strong in the power of what? His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Are y'all thankful for Jesus today? Amen. Hey, if you've never accepted him as your Lord and your Savior, I want you to imagine there's a door on your heart right now. And you know what? Maybe that door has kind of been shut to him. Maybe it's starting to kind of come open a little bit. I want you to open it up to him today if you've never done that. Open up your heart's door and invite Jesus Christ into your heart and your life. Receive him as your Savior. Become a believer on Christ. He's the only answer. And so let's all bow our heads right now. And if you'd like to accept Jesus Christ, you can do that right now.